Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking by faith now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 14. 9 through 14. Now, I want your attention here on the screen. And so I've entitled this evening's message, Delivered from the Power of Darkness. Delivered from the Power of Darkness. And before we dive into the scriptures, I'm here to let us know this evening that many of us, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were walking in darkness. Oh, yes, right. Many of you already know my testimony, how God had delivered me from the vices of the devil. And many of us were walking in the same like manner. But until God intervened into our life, after he came, hallelujah, and did a mighty work in our life. You see, this evening's Bible study is being delivered from the power of darkness. That's right, into God's marvelous light. And so many of us who were caught up in the culture of this world, many of us who were darkened in our mind, we had no illumination, we had no light, we had no wisdom, we had no knowledge, we had no idea of who the Lord Jesus Christ was. But when he came into our life, he quickened us. He made us come alive, and now God is doing the marvelous thing in our life right now. For you and I, who have been born again, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now God has given us now a direction. God has given us a plan. God has paved the way, hallelujah, that you and I would walk forward in this day, that we would walk in the light, that we would now shun the darkness. And God has given us truth from his word. God has given us his Spirit for power, for illumination. Hallelujah. And God is using you and I in the gifts of the Spirit. There are 9 gifts, and we're going to teach on the gifts down the road. But many of us have now the power to do exactly what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and to the Gentile. And so, my friends, I hope that this message resonates in your heart, that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that we have been translated from darkness into God's marvelous light. God has delivered you and I. And how many of you are blessed at home to know that God has delivered us from the power of darkness? You see, my friends, before we come into the saving knowledge, the Bible is clear. Oh, that's right. You may not want to hear this, but our father, before we got saved, was the devil. Why? Because we inherited Adam's curse. That's right. The fallen Adam. And so every one of us have a body of sin. Every one of us deal with a sin nature, but until Jesus comes, hallelujah, and delivers us from the power of darkness, in other words, God has redeemed us. God has purchased us back through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are now saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I now can walk in the fullness of God. How many of you at home are so blessed to know that you are now walking as a child of God, that now God can do miracles through you? God can do so many marvelous things. We can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We can speak a word of knowledge. We can speak a word of wisdom. That's right. We can speak truth and watch God raise them up and translate them from darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm excited about getting into this message. Amen. And so with that said, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, my friends, let's go here right now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, and let's expound the scriptures and allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Can I get an amen? So here we go. In verse 9, for this reason, we also since what? Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? And we're going to break this down line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. So let's go to the first verse right here. For this reason, and verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul already mentioned that he continued praying for these believers as he did for all the churches. And there's many examples throughout the Word of God. Let's go to the first example found in the book of Romans. Look at this. Look what he says here. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention of you always in my prayers. Praise God. Praise God. Let me ask you this, saints. Since you've been saved, have you been praying for others? Have you been praying for our church? Have you been praying for all churches? Have you been praying for marriages? Have you been praying for those who are afflicted? See, God is calling us to pray. Paul prayed for the churches, and God did miraculous things through the power of prayer. There's power in the prayer. Can I get an amen? That's right. When you lift these things up to God and you cry out in faith, asking God to do his perfect will with the situation at hand, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. But God is saying, do you have time to pray? Can you take 5 minutes out of a day? Can you take 10? Can you take 30 minutes? You see, we have to walk in faith. Can I get an amen? Knowing that he hears our cry. Paul understood that. We just read that. We have to understand that. We have to come to a conclusion that there is power in the name of Jesus, and through power of prayer, we can watch God do all kinds of things. He can reconcile. He can restore. He can heal. He can lift up. He can lift the burdens. That's right. He can lift the depressions. That's right. He can heal the body from sicknesses and afflictions. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at another verse of scripture here found in Philippians. Look at this. I thank God. Look at this. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. See, this was his role. This was cemented in the heart of Paul, that he would pray for one another. He would pray for the churches. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. Some of you are going through a serious trial right now, but I'm here to let you know that God will see you through it. God will strengthen you. God will lift the burden, but you have to give it to God. That's right. You cannot fight this affliction. You cannot fight this relational thing. You cannot fight these things with your own strength. You got to give it to the Lord. and you got to die to self. You got to give it to God and let God raise you up. Let God strengthen you. Let God put the peace of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God in your hearts by faith. And God will do the miraculous in your life. That's right. Why? Because He loves us. And He doesn't want to see anyone burdened. Can I get an amen? Saints, let me just say this. As you look at this in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Will complete it. And despite of ourselves, He's going to complete His perfect will in our life. Oh, that's right. And a lot of times we're going to go through, and if we don't allow God to work, He's going to keep trying us and trying us until we get it right with Him. That's right. Because He wants to establish you and I under a solid foundation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, saints, Paul didn't know about a church in Colossae until he had heard from it from Epaphras. And Paul rejoiced to be able to pray for one another in this growing church. Paul did not stop at saying that he prayed constantly for the Colossian believers. He went on to explain exactly what he prayed for them. He was specific. He asked God that they would have complete understanding of God's will for their lives. He asked that they be made wise with spiritual wisdom. And these are not abstract concepts. Instead, Paul was referring to the true wisdom and understanding made available by God's Holy Spirit. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, the Colossians needed to be filled with this type of spiritual wisdom and knowledge, leaving no room for any type of false knowledge. That's right. Advocated by Gnostic heretics. Wisdom and understanding refer to discretion and discernment. And when believers possess those, they will be able to discern the truth from the false teaching. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Well, let's move on to the next verse. In verse 10 in Colossians chapter 1. And it reads, here we go, that you may have a walk, what? Worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. I want you to catch that. Is your walk fully pleasing God? Or is it in disarray? Are you doing the opposite of God's will? There's a lot of people said, you know what? I've heard it said like this so many times. Oh, it hurts so bad that I cannot let this go. Well, that means you're not trusting God. You got to trust God in all things. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this again. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's right. That's the key. And so, saints, true understanding and wisdom of God's will is inseparable from living in harmony with it. True knowledge leads to obedience. Complete obedience cannot occur without the knowledge of God's will given by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Look what the book of Titus says regarding this. Look at this. And let our people also learn to maintain what? Good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. That is the key. When you're walking in the will of God and you are saying yes and amen, God will then turn that heart that's bent toward Him to be fruitful works, not unfruitful. But see, we have to let go and let God. We got to learn how to die to self. There's some painful things that we learn in life, but God is saying, give them to me. Why? Because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that wants to bless you and help you and raise you up and cause the circumstances around your life to be straightened. A lot of us come with things that are crooked, but God will make those things straight in His time. But you have to allow Him. You got to give it to Him. You got to say, oh God, I can't do this no longer. Lord, can you help me? That's right. That's right, saints of God. The Colossian believers should live always to honor and please the Lord. And by so doing, they will continually do good work, kind things for others. Their behavior should match their status as God's holy people. And they ought to be following God closely, their lives being transformed to Christ likeness. A Christian must be active in order to grow spiritually and to live worthy of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. That's right. There's no time left, saints of God. This is the time to be the church and not play church. Oh, yes, we can go through the motions. That's right. Yes, yes. We can attend Bible studies. We can worship God. We can attend the Sunday morning. But a lot of times we go through the motions and our heart's not in it. Our hearts are far away. God is saying, this is the time. Hallelujah. To draw close to the Lord and in the power of His might and allow Him to work out those difficult situations in our life. That's right. Every one of us, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's affliction, whatever the case may be, whether it's healing that we need, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. But we got to allow God's perfect will to be done. We got to die to self. Can I get an amen in the house? I'm going to keep hitting that point in this message. We got to learn to die to self. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about God doing the miraculous in our life. Can I get an amen? And this is where we need to be as the church. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's grace to help us go through. We need to cry and say, Abba, Father, I cannot handle this no more. I need your help. Can I get an amen? He will send ministering angels. That's right. The Holy Spirit will touch us. Jesus may even come and touch us without even knowing it. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody give Jesus praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, let's go now to verse 11 and Colossians chapter 1. And it says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. Whose power? God's glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. Look at this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Saints of God, I need you to catch that. Look, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Listen, there's situations that we find ourselves in. I call them pickles. We're in a pickle. But God, as we just read, wants us to be patient and long-suffering with joy. That God will deliver us through these ailments, through these dilemmas. But some people want a Burger King life, having it my way. Oh, that's right. They want to do it their way. And they get false information from others. Instead of learning to die to self, and to surrender those things to God, that God will strengthen you. God will lift you up. God will build you up. God knows already before these situations arise in our life. He knows how to straighten out these crooked things in our life. But He's looking for you and I to surrender. Surrender it all to God. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Saints, the Colossians' growth in the knowledge of God and the result of fruit would help strengthen them. Paul continued his prayer for the believers, asking God that they would be strengthened with His glorious power. And one could hardly pray a more wonderful prayer. Paul knew exactly. His thing was to be made strong with God's power, is to be given incredible strength. It was God's glorious power that created the universe and that brought Jesus back to life. Hallelujah! That's right. When Jesus was in the tomb, on the third day, He rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. And one could hardly imagine, my friends, more power than that. In fact, Paul's words here show the inadequacy of describing God's power. Why? Because it's beyond our words. It's beyond our human minds to comprehend the power of God and the grace of God and the knowledge of God. This is why we are to walk not by sight, but walk in faith. That's right. Walk in faith. It's real simple. Those of you who ride the bus says it will be there at 10 a.m. Well, you're there knowing already that it's going to show up at 10 a.m. You have no doubt. Well, God wants us to have the same faith like that, knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And so, saints of God, yet that power is available to all believers and to the church, so that they can fulfill their mission in the world. That's right. Paul wanted the Colossian believers to be strengthened with God's power so they would not be pulled away from their faith and their witness to the world. You and I are witnesses. And this power would give them all the patience and endurance they would need. Patience is the ability to stand firm against opposition without giving up. It is often used in describing one's dealings with difficult people. Endurance is the ability to continue toward a goal regardless of the obstacles. It is often used in relation to difficult circumstances. Let me just say this. I need a pause right here. I want to thank and praise God for all the well wishes that came our way. Sister Yolanda and I, we've been married now for 25 years. It's our silver anniversary yesterday, August 3rd. And let me just say this. Were there trials? Yes. Were there things that we had to endure? Yes. But because Christ was in the center of our lives, God has been able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could have ever thought and asked and hoped for. God has gave us a tremendous ministry to serve the body of Christ. For those of you who have logged in, God has given us our home. God has given us so many things. He has met our financial needs. He has given us joy and love for one another. Why? Because we have submitted our lives unto Him. And that's the key, my friends. Submit your life unto God. And God will make what may be a horrible situation, He'll make it beautiful in His time. But you got to trust God. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. I just needed to say that before I forgot, because I love my wife, and she is such a huge blessing in my life. And God has given me a gift from His garden. And until God calls me home, I will water and nurture my gift from God and that Sister Yolanda. And those of you that are married, I don't care how difficult it may get, learn to love the things of God. Learn to pray for your spouses. That's right. It's not going to be a rose garden every day. But I'm here to let you know that with God, all things are possible. God can strengthen us. God can deliver us in any situation. I don't care how horrible it may be. But we have to learn how to die to self. We got to learn that it's not about me. We got to give our hurt, our pain, our emotional distraughtness, and give it to God and lay it at the foot of the cross and watch God make something horrible beautiful in His time. Can I get amen? I had to take a time out because I felt the Holy Spirit. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit right now speaking to somebody, speaking to someone that's going through. And God is able to help you. You just got to give your heart to Him fully and watch Him do the miraculous. Amen? And so, my friends, both would be needed by the believers in Colossae. And both come from the empowerment of God's glorious strength. Paul reminded the Colossians that even when they were surrounded by persecution and false teaching, they had the strength to continue toward the goal of their faith and to stand firm against the opposition. It is God's power that helps believers endure and be patient, even when they are filled with joy and that overflows and always thanking God. Why? Because Jesus Christ made it possible for the believers to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people. That's right, saints. By using the word inheritance, Paul was alluding to the inheritance of the promised land, first promised to Abraham, then his faithfulness to God. Oh, that's right. I want you to see something first and foremost, how God promised everything first to His holy people back in the Old Testament, and it trickled into the New Testament, and now God has blessed you and I. But let's go back to the Word of God. Look at this in Genesis 13, 14 through 17. And the Lord God said to Abraham, look at or Abram at the time, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which I see give to you and your descendants forever. Look at this. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Verse 17, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Are you catching that, saints of God? You see, God's people, the Old Testament saints, inherited a portion of a bountiful land. And God's people in the New Testament are the very sons of God. As such, they have the right to inherit Christ and a glorious eternity in the light. The promise of land is broadened to include the whole creation. Praise God. Thank you, God. Let's look at what Paul wrote in the book of Romans right here. Look at this. In Romans 8, 17 through 25, and if children, say that with me at home, and if children, they're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Look what God has given us. We are joint heirs by faith. He has grafted us in. If we indeed suffer with him, oh, let me catch that. Let me pause right there. If we suffer with him, that means we're going to experience things that sometimes hurt us in life. But we are to hold on. Hallelujah. We're not to give up. We're not to throw in the towel. That's right. I've seen after COVID, some people have not come back to church. Oh, that's right. And they won't come back. Why? Because they threw in the towel. They have ran out of faith for whatever reason. But God is reminding you and I who are steadfast in the faith to remain and to endure. To endure these tough times, to endure these afflictions, to endure rough relationships, to endure financial setback. We are to trust God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? Let's go back and read this. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. Let me just say this. There's a lot of people that love ministries that it's all about the Spirit moving, but they have no substance. They have no word. We need to be a balanced church. We allow the Holy Ghost to have its way, but we need to also be taught the Word of God. So when these pickles in our life happen, we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We could turn to the Scriptures and be comforted by God's solid Word. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's go back to the Word. Look at this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. There's glory awaiting for us. Hang on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't throw in your spouse. Don't go to these systems that want to just have you cut and run. Hallelujah. That doesn't bring glory to God. Look at this. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look at this. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of what? Of our body. Praise God, we're going to get the new body. Thank you, Jesus. I am so blessed. We're going to get the new body. Now look at this. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Wow. Well, that's the key, saints of God. You see, Paul was most likely setting up the contrast between the state of light that the believers have been transferred to and from their previous state of darkness as described in our earlier verses. And so, my friends, we need to understand that God is at work. God is in the midst of his people. Let's move on to the next verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Look at this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. This is where I got the message tonight. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Wow. Did you catch that, my friends? In the Son of his love. It's because he loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, this verse, this very verse, continues the thought that Paul still had in mind an analogy of Israel inheriting the promised land. The book of Exodus tells the story of how God rescued or delivered his people from Egypt, typifying Satan's kingdom of darkness, and took them to the promised land, typifying the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, that's right. And we find this in the Old Testament scriptures. Let's look at this, because this was a foreshadow. This was a type. This is what God had painted back then to give us hope in the future, that we in our day and time would be delivered to a type of Pharaoh. That's right. And that bondage is sin and Satan, who is still here. He is real. But God has purchased us back through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the cross of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. Hallelujah. We have been bought for and paid for in full. And we are no longer part of Satan's dominion. Hallelujah. We have been translated from the power of darkness into his marvelous light. But let's look at the scriptures in the Old Testament. Look at this. In Exodus 6:6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with great judgments. Praise God. Praise God. This is what Jesus did for us. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh, that's right. God did a marvelous job in your life and my life. Look what it also says here in the next verse in chapter 12, verse 27 of Exodus, that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households, so that the people would what? Bow their heads and worship. Praise God. Listen, are you thankful that God has delivered you? Are you excited about what God has done in your life and what he's doing in your life? Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, persecutions, that's right, afflictions, hallelujah, thank you, God. Are you grateful and thankful, despite of it all, that there is a place in heaven for us, and God's going to translate these bodies of flesh into these bodies that will live forever? Look what it also says right here in the next verse in Exodus, Exodus 14:30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Wow. Wow. Listen, my friends. Jesus referred to the kingdom of darkness at his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, describing the forces of evil that he had to combat in his final hours. Oh, yes. That's right. As we saw that this was the kingdom of darkness back in the days of Pharaoh, Jesus brought it and revealed it in the New Testament of what he had to deal with in order to deliver you and I. Look at this right here in Scripture. When I was with you, this is Luke 22:53. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Look, when they apprehended him to bring him to the cross, the power of darkness was at work, but God had already ordained that day that Jesus would die on Passover. Oh, that's right. And when he died on Passover, they buried him in the tomb. And then he was in the tomb on the second day. It was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened is a type of sin. Oh, that's right. And so he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So while he was in the tomb, he had no sin. And then on the third day, which is their third festival, he rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. Praise God. 50 days later, another fourth festival came, and that was the Feast of Pentecost. And so those first four have been fulfilled. The last three is about to happen. We don't know what year. It could be this year, next year. But let me just say this. The next greatest event will take place on the Feast of Trumpets. That's right. You see, the ceremonial, what the Jews do in their ceremony is they blast 99 trumpet sounds. And the final 100th blast is called the last trump. And so we see it through Thessalonians and we see it in Corinthians, that at the last trump, the angel will sound it, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. And so the next greatest feast will be the Feast of Trumpets, and that is the rapture of the church. I'm here to let you know that this is soon, and very soon it's going to take place. But are you ready? Are you ready, ready, ready? Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to get to that in a few. But let me just say this, my friends. In Scripture, darkness is a metaphor for evil. It is the dominion of those who are without God. True believers, however, saints of God, have been transferred from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from guilt to forgiveness, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. We have been rescued from a rebel kingdom to serve the true King. Hallelujah. That's right. And so let's go now to our final verse in verse 14. In whom we have redemption. Say that with me. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Praise God had established His mighty plan, my friends. Believers are able, hallelujah, to be in Christ's kingdom because through Jesus Christ, God has purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all of our sins. And that is why God chose to buy sinful people back. He offered His Son in exchange for us. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to look at the Word of God right up here. Look at this. In Colossians 2:13, and you, say that with me at home, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made you alive together. Look at this. Alive with Him, having forgiven you all. Not some, but all trespasses. Praise God. And look what it says here in the book of Romans. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, meaning His foreknowledge, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. What? What? Let me just say this. Before we came into the saving knowledge, we had committed horrendous sins. And when we got saved, God forgave us of our past, our present, and even the future sins that we would commit. Oh, that's right. Not to give us a license to sin, but the blood has been poured out by faith. Hallelujah. And God is the one that will keep you and I. He will keep us by the power. If you have truly repented and given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and God has covered you in His blood and washed away your sins, then He fills you with His Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed until the day of redemption. Then you can walk in the fullness of God. You will know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. So my friends, Paul was reminding the Colossian believers that they were not saved by knowledge or by good works or by inclusion in some sort of secret religious cult. They were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And through Him alone, they had received the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. And if we want to be freed from the deadly consequences of our sins, a tremendous price must be paid. But we don't have to pay it. Jesus Christ, our substitute, had already redeemed us by the death on the cross. Our part is to trust Him and accept His gift of eternal life. Our sins have been paid for, and the way has been cleared for us to begin a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed that Jesus is coming? He's coming soon and very soon. He's about to appear, and God is about ready to redeem us back. Look, I want you to look at the clouds in the background right here. Jesus is coming back in the clouds. Oh, wow. Oh, yes, He is. He's coming back again. And as I alluded to earlier, man, I'm telling you, God is going to do the miraculous. He's going to do the miraculous in our life. Look what He said He would do. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. But we have hope. Can I get an amen? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself, say that with me, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. There's that 100 blast, the last trump. Look at this, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort, comfort, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that God has made a way? That's why God is saying, be patient, endure, endure to the end. We don't know the day or the hour. This is why we are not to look at the timeline. We are to look at the sign line. Oh, that's right. Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24, when you see these signs, look up, for your redemption draws near. And so you and I can see the signs clearly, everything converging all at once, earthquakes and rumors of wars and wars, pestilence. Look at this new variant, this Delta variant. All these things is part of what God said we would see in the last days. We would see false Christ. That's right. We would see apostasy, people leaving the faith. Hallelujah. I truly believe that COVID was demonic. Oh, that's right. It caused the church to shut down. Nothing has ever caused the church to shut down in the history of our nation. But that one day, everything shut down, including our churches. And don't tell me that wasn't demonic. It was totally demonic. And it's still at work. Why? Because there's still good people that have not come back. And they have no desire to come back. But I'm here to let you know, greater is He that lives within us than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who could be against us? God will put a shield and buckler about us. We are to not walk by sight, but we are to walk in faith. Can I get an amen? We are to allow God, hallelujah, His presence, hallelujah, take preeminence in our life. We are to learn how to die to self. We are to learn how to put those hurts and those harms and those things that were done to us. We got to put them at the foot of the cross. And we got to lean not to our understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and He will direct our path. God is saying, look unto me, the author and the finisher of our faith. God wants to help us. God wants to destroy the works of the devil in our lives. God wants to make sure that you and I are prepared for His soon return, because Jesus is soon to return. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody give God praise and glory, because God is about ready to return. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, look what it says in Corinthians. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, say that with me, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die in these bodies, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There it is, at the last trumpet. Let me just pause there. That's the 100 blast. You see, the Jews, they have no clue. When they go through the ceremonial thing, they blast 99 times, and then the last blast is called the last trumpet. Well, God put it clearly. The rapture of the church will take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And let's look at that. Let's finish this. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Have your sins been washed away by the blood of the Lamb? And that's only through a heart of repentance. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise? Are you heaven bound and there's a hell now to shun? Have you been translated from darkness to His marvelous light as we've been teaching? Because if that has not taken place in your life just as yet, don't let this happen to you. Let's take a look.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or He might come next week. Or He could even come...
Saints of God, that's always going to be the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? God is preparing His church for His marvelous return. And yes, despite of it all, despite of the trials and the tribulations, the afflictions, our bodies that need healing, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you who have just logged in or been watching this live stream, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's two verses of scripture that's so vital to our understanding of God's way of salvation. And that's through a heart of repentance. That's right. Peter the apostle came down from the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and he preached to thousands that were there celebrating the feast. And this is what was written down for you and I 2,000 years later, couldn't adhere to and to receive and to cry out to God. Let's look at this right now. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." Remission means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that God is able to do the miraculous in your life. And all you got to do is cry out in faith. If you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer. And that you would cry out to God. And that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that God would prepare you for His return, because He's coming again. If that's you and you've never cried out to God, bow your heart and your head with me and allow me to lead you into this prayer. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise in the house. Somebody just gave their heart to Christ. Someone just surrendered their life. Listen, down below our website, log on. You know what we want to do? We want to get in touch with you. We want to give you a Bible, and we want to point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, I am so very thankful. Thankful for all that have been just truly a blessing to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And also down below, you'll see that there's also a place on our website that you can donate to this ministry. For donations are deeply appreciated. And we thank and praise God for all you that have done so and have been supporting this ministry. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda, and once again, we're still celebrating our silver anniversary, 25 years of just being joyful and thankful to the Lord for our marriage and the ministry that God has given us. I want to leave you this benediction, and I'm going to sign off now. And I hope to see you all on Sunday morning at 10:30, live in-person service. And so the benediction goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, I leave you with saying how much we love you. We can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. And I'm looking forward to another day that God would pour out His Spirit upon us and that we could continue to prepare our hearts to meet the King. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.